Exodus chapter 8, verses 20 through 32. These are God's words. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says Yahweh, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you, and your servants, and on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also all the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am Yahweh in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be.' And Yahweh did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God in the land.' And Moses said, 'It is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to Yahweh our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh our God as he will command us.' So Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go that you may sacrifice to Yahweh your God in the wilderness. And you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me.' And then Moses said, 'Indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat Yahweh that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to Yahweh.' So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yahweh, and Yahweh did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go." So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. We have deja vu, as it were, at the beginning of the passage. That means I have seen it before. This starts like the first plague. And Pharaoh has deja vu, and he gets up in the morning and goes out first thing in the morning for his ritual washing. But Yahweh had said to Moses in verse 20, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water." So here comes Pharaoh, sleepy Pharaoh, just out of bed for the morning ritual wash. And oh no, there's Moses and Aaron. And he's been through this before. And yet, we've been seeing in each successive plague, the Lord reveals something else about himself. He's told us that he is making himself known, that we shall know, or that Egypt shall know, and that Israel shall know. He said both of those, that he is Yahweh by what he does and how he brings his people out of the land in this manner. We remember last time in the third plague, he didn't send Moses at all. He didn't give any warning. And he doesn't owe us a warning. He reminded us how just and holy he is, and yet how merciful, that he often gives sinners warnings and calls to repentance. And he's been very merciful to you, my dear children, for there are very few in the history of this world who have been so often called to repent of their sin and turn to this God who gives full and free forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we learned in the last plague, in the previous plague, that he doesn't owe us any warning or call to repentance. This plague, he especially reveals himself as Yahweh who makes the distinctions. Yahweh who makes a difference. He says that in the end of verse 22, "In order that you may know that I am Yahweh in the midst of the land." And he says, "I will make a difference between my people and your people." The Lord has revealed himself from the beginning of creation as one who makes distinctions between things. He made light to separate from the darkness, and he separated the light from the darkness. He made the water to gather in one place so that the dry land would emerge. He made a distinction between the sea and the land. He made man, male and female, a distinction that in our own culture is under attack. And he is the one who makes the difference between good and evil, a distinction that Satan tempted Adam and Eve to want to make for themselves. You shall be like God, discerning good and evil. Well, God discerns good and evil by determining good and evil. And the wicked still do that today. They want to call what they want good and evil. And so they call evil good and good evil. He is God who makes a distinction. Well, one of the marvelous things that God does in making a distinction is in salvation. We all deserve hell. And yet God, in his love, has chosen to save some. And we are not the ones at all who make that distinction. He is the one who makes that distinction. Israel, as anybody who is familiar with the rest of their history would certainly agree with, is a very wicked and stubborn people. If you were to pick two prime examples of hard-heartedness in the Bible, you might pick Pharaoh because of the way this part of Exodus is written, but the people of Israel, certainly hard-hearted, stiff-necked, stubborn people. And yet, they were the ones that the Lord had set apart historically. And the Lord shows that he's the one who makes the difference when he saves such sinners as you, such sinners as I am. And here he made that difference, something that you could probably have seen from orbit, if a man could have been in orbit back then. Think of it, the land of Egypt divided one half, covered with swarms of flies. And yet there was the boundary line to Goshen, and not a fly crossed over the boundary. And how amazing is that? And what he says, I will make the difference between my people and your people, in verse 23, it is as if to say, you will see the line where I decide to stand and make the difference. Not that the Lord himself appeared there or made an appearance of himself there, but you understand the point in the blackening and corrupting of the land of Egypt and in leaving the land of Goshen alone. So the Lord is the one who not only decides to save his people, even though they deserve hell, and so he makes the difference that way, but he works all things together for our good, and he makes a difference in the way his providence falls out to us. The unbeliever can't know that all things are to his good. The Lord is good to unbelievers, merciful. He makes his sun to shine, rain to fall. In this case, even he, although giving Moses the words to say, do not deceive again, do not deal deceitfully, let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go, in verse 29, and the Lord, of course, well knew what verse 32 would say, that Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, neither would he let the people go, yet the Lord spared the land and removed the flies. In fact, that was perhaps a greater miracle than the swarms. You guys know, if we just get a few flies in here and we break out the fly swatters and start killing them, there always seems to be one more. And yet, it said in the end of verse 31, not one remained. Marvelous miracle of God's power. There's also a miracle of God's mercy. Because look at the beginning of verse 31, and Yahweh did according to the word of Moses. One of the most common phrases in the entire book of Exodus is going to be, and Moses did according to the word of Yahweh, or and they did according to the word which Yahweh had commanded Moses. But that the Lord would listen to a man for the sake of his electing love and for the sake of the atonement that Christ would provide, that the Lord would listen to a sinful man, that is a miracle of mercy. and that the Lord left not one fly, that is a miracle of power. And this God of miraculous mercy and miraculous power is the one who makes the difference for us. And so if we are in danger of being hard-hearted like Pharaoh or like Israel, let us seek from him by his mercy and by his power to make the difference and to give us a soft heart, that we may heed him, that we may worship him. Let's ask him that he would do so. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for reminding and teaching us here in this passage that you are the Lord who makes the difference, and that you are able to protect us from having even a particle of the plagues that fall on the world to come upon us. We bless your name for the confidence it gives us to know that whenever we participate in the misery of this world, it is only to such an extent as you have decided would be good for us. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us soft-heartedness towards you, that we would not be stubborn or rebellious. We marvel at your mercy, that you listen even now to the words that are being formed by my mouth and agreed with in our hearts and our minds. We marvel at the miracle of your power, that just as there was once not one fly remaining in the land of Egypt, so also there is a new heavens and a new earth which you are making by your power, in which righteousness will dwell, in which there will be no sin or sorrow or death, or suffering, not even one of any of these, not a particle. And so we bless you for your mercy, and we bless you for your power, and we ask that you would grant to us the ministry of your Spirit. Bless to us this portion of your word today, tonight, the rest of our lives, and forever, that we might remember that it is you who make the difference, and we might hope in you. Grant it, we ask, through Jesus. Amen.